out of it. Okay.
Man, she is fun. Hallelujah. My firstborn. They're a piece of work. Any firstborns here? We're amazing. That's right. Just pat myself. Right. All right. Let's see. Wind Stories. Bob and Dolores Meredith had their second grandson, so that's where they are helping out. So you can, if you see them, give them a high five. They're tickled pink. Wind Stories, and it's a wind. Kathy Brooker and Kathy Lewis had knee replacements, and the physical therapist who come in said, "Gosh, you are doing amazing. You're doing better than what everybody else does." So praise the Lord. So give them a call. Tell them I want to see you running and jumping and leaping and all that good stuff. Do that. And I had one more little thing. What was I going to? Oh, the wall. So I got corrected in my grow group. Anybody in a grow group? My grow group loves me. I love my grow group. But sometimes I'll say dumb things. Anybody say dumb things? Anybody say not faith things? That's a dumb thing. So I was calling it the wall from hell. And man, they jumped all over me. Where's faith, Pastor D? I was like, oh, jeez, thank you. So we prayed. I repented. We prayed. And correction, you know, but anyway, I just didn't enjoy it. But I got it. I got really quiet. So it's no longer the wall from hell. Okay? And I call it, I see it done. In the meantime, we had a little hiccup. But I see it done. I see this wall done. We had to get a permit because you should obey the laws of the land. So sometimes I'll go, you know, I don't know if you're allowed to do that, but I don't know anything. If I do that, it means you really probably should go do something. So anyway, we did obey the laws of the land, and we were getting a permit, and they gave us several hoops that we need to jump through. One, but I see it done. I see it done. I see that wall done. It's no longer the wall from hell. It is God's wall. We now have to have soil samples. And I got corrected. You got an attitude, D. Okay. But I see it done. I see it done. Thank you, Lord. So if anybody asks me, don't ask me. You will see it when it's done, or you see it because it's done. So that's where we are with the wall. Therefore, we're postponing communion fellowships because it just makes life a little funner. Okay, so that's what's going on with that. All right, let's pray. You ready? Woo! Lord Jesus, you're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. And it has been just an absolute blast this morning just to praise you and sing about you, just to bask in your presence, and then to lift our arms up and just love on you again. And we just thank you for that time. We thank you now for the time where you will speak to each person in this place. I declare that hearts are open, ears are open, and you will speak and direct us, lift us, push us, encourage us, and you can correct us. But Lord, we thank you that your word is just transforming us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, we are on week number 3 in a series called Called. That's so easy, Pastor D. Called. So we're in week number 3. I'm having a blast. I hope you all are too. Anybody enjoying it? Every hand go up and raise your hand. Gee whiz. All right, talk about. If you weren't able to join us, hey, listen, go online, ycf.com. You can listen to it for free, or you can get a free CD. Anybody like CDs? I love them. I still use them. They're all over the house. Okay. But you're going to hear the word called or calling a whole lot. And if I haven't worn it out, I have not worn it out. And that word call or calling comes from a Greek word, K-A-L-E-O. And it means, and you should write this down. Calling. You ready? An invitation to stand in a divinely appointed position. You, point to your neighbor and say, you have been invited by God to stand in a divinely appointed position. I'm telling you, just close your eyes. I have been invited by God to stand in a divinely appointed position. That's what calling means. So we've been talking about general calling last week. General calling is the same calling that you have, she has, he has, we have. General calling. We talked about general callings that we all have, and one of them is you are all called to come under the grace of God. You are all called to live pure lives. You all are called to be friends of God. And there's a whole bunch more, but you are all called to have that and to do that and to be that in your life. So that was what we talked about last week. Those are general callings, and they're the same for everybody. They're the same for everybody. They're the same for everybody. So today we're going to talk about specific callings, and the cool thing about specific callings is you will really get a sense and a purpose in your life. You will get a real, you know, when you just know your specific, and my specific is different than yours, and your specific calling is different than hers, but once you get it, because we are called to stand in a divinely appointed position and specific, it's just going to bring fireworks to your life. It's going to just give some answers to your life. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I want to start with a story. Several years ago, gosh, it's probably been a decade ago, I had a young girl come and live with me. She was in her probably her early 30s, and she was a nurse. She was a vascular nurse, and she was just so cool. Her name was Angie, and she had gone to school, and she had the dream job Monday through Friday. For a nurse, that's pretty cool. A Monday through Friday nurse, and she thought, oh my gosh, I've arrived. I've got my dream job. I'm doing what I went to school for. I have this amazing team of doctors and nurses, and she just loved it. Yet, she said, I would go home, and I felt like I just was missing something in my life. I felt like I didn't know my purpose in my life. And then she went to this really cool church. She'd go to church back in the day. Did you know they had church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, and sometimes Saturday? And you used to go to all of them because they'd keep you out of trouble. And that's where your husband met you. Church. Brent and Susan, I love it. Keep me out of trouble. But anyway, so she was going to this church, and it's a great church, and she's sitting in this church, and she's sitting in this church, and she's still, and she says, the pastor's great. He's doing a great job, but I still feel like I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't sense that I have this purpose and just this, anybody know, like that sweet space inside, that sweetness? So then she goes to a Joyce Meyer's conference. Anybody ever go to one of Joyce's? Yes, they're so cool. And I don't think she went to the Hershey one. I think she was in St. Louis. So she went to that. And then at Joyce Meyer's conferences, they always tell about their ministry, all the different things, the orphanages and medical mission trips. And she was like, oh, 1 week medical missions trip. So Angie signed up for it. And she came back and she said, I found my sweet space. I knew my purpose. I just knew. Now, get this, though, guys. She still worked her secular job. She continued to do that. And for the next 5 years, probably once or twice a year, she would go on one of Joyce Meyer's medical missions trips. And she says, that's where I knew. I just knew. Anybody knew? She just knew. She felt like she had her purpose and that fulfillment. It was so cool. So in the beginning, she didn't know why, but I knew why. And I'm going to tell you why today, how you get to that special calling in your life where you just sense your fulfillment and your purpose and all that. So here's my main idea, this big idea that I want you to understand more clearly than you ever understood. Some of you know this, but I'm just praying it's going to open up really big and wide in your life. Other of you, this is like the first time, and you're like, are you serious, Pastor D? Yes, I'm serious. So if you're taking notes, write this down. This is our main idea. Ready? Here it goes. God made you to use you for his purpose. God made you to use you for his purpose. Man, that just knocks the silly out of selfishness, doesn't it? I was writing this and I'm just laughing at myself. But listen, God made you to use you. How many people know that? but to use you for his purpose. That part, sometimes we go kicking and screaming. But listen, you get that part, and that's that sweet part. That's that fulfillment in your life. So we're going to talk about that today. First and most important, we did this in preschool. God made you. God made you. First most important thing, write that down. God made you. And listen, there is no junk in this room. There is nobody in this room that is a piece of junk, because God made you. And I've heard some horrendous parenting that just want to rip their hair out of the head and smash their face against the wall because they tell their kid they're a junk and they're a mistake, okay? But listen, you know, some of you are like, oh, Pastor D, I know that. Some people don't know that, and you might be that person, but I just want to tell you, God made you, and he doesn't make junk. He made you, right? Now, there's one other thing I want you to understand. I'll give you some scriptures on it, but listen, your mom and dad made you the physical you, okay? And that's it. They just made the physical you, but God made you the real you. God made the real you, your spirit. God made your soul. That's the real you. Say, that's the real me. That's the real me. And God made you, and he didn't make any mistakes. So it doesn't matter what environment you grew up in. It doesn't matter if you had a single-parent home. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter if you've made some mistakes. It doesn't matter if you made some big mistakes. It doesn't matter. I want you to know that God made you. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make junk. So, funny story, I had this girlfriend when I was in high school, and we'd hang out, and I'd go down there during holidays and whatnot, and she'd say, oh, Dee, Uncle Boo Boo is coming over. I'm like, Uncle Boo Boo's coming over. And I said, who's that? She goes, oh, that's my uncle, you know, his name is Tom, but we call him Uncle Boo Boo. And she told me she didn't know why they called him Uncle Boo Boo until she was much older. And the reason why everybody called him Uncle Boo Boo, hey Boo Boo, is because he was the surprise child. Parents were like 40 and they got pregnant. You know, they thought all the plumbing shut down. So they would say, oh, that's Boo Boo. Like you're a mistake? Yeah. How do you think that played out in that guy's life? Hey, Boo Boo. How you doing, Boo Boo? You're a Boo Boo. Right? Yeah, you know, we laugh about that, but there have been some people that have said some things and then the people that believe that. But listen, guys, none of you in this room are a boo-boo. So everybody say, I'm not a boo-boo. And I don't care what happened to you in life, you are not a boo-boo. God made you, and God doesn't make junk. Amen. Okay, here's your scripture. Open up to Romans chapter 8. Told you I'd give you a scripture. I got a bunch of scriptures, guys, so get ready. Just write this down. They're going to pop this on the screen. Hey, guys up back there, I changed my idea about 10 times. Oh, and one girl back up there. What version did I use this time? Oh, good, 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 good. I kept changing my versions. I can't remember what I told them to pop up. I was like, okay, I should be nice before I read this. All right. So remember, our main idea is that God made you to use you for his purpose. Okay, so now read this. And we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Ooh. So, called. Remember the definition of called? Called by God, invited by God to stand in a divinely appointed position, okay? So you've been called by God. You all have been called by God. And so that you could fulfill this purpose that he's mapped out for you. Better yet, so you can help him. How many want to help God? So you get to help him fulfill his purpose. So this afternoon, break out of here, we're going to have some purpose and we're going to have a bunch of people help tear this down. But better than that, you've been called to stand in a divinely appointed position to help God. Don't you feel good? Don't you feel special? Yeah, man, I feel so special. Okay, and that's a big deal. When you know that you have been called by God to a divinely appointed position, all of a sudden you have like, oh, I feel valuable. Anybody feel valuable? Man, you are valuable. You should feel valuable. You should feel precious, okay? Now, it doesn't matter if you work a secular job. How many of you work a secular job? Pretty much everybody here works a secular job, okay? And that's good. I like secular jobs. I've had quite a few of them. And you may enjoy them, but when you find your divinely appointed position, it just kind of changes how you walk through life, okay? Regardless of if you're a secular working out in the world, in the marketplace, but when you find out your divine appointed position, it just kind of changes how you walk through life. And I'm going to give you some things on it, okay? So there's two things that go with our main idea, and here's the first one. God called you before you were born. God called you before you were born. It took me years to wrap that in my head, but I'm telling you, God called you before you were born. God called you before you were born to invite you to stand in a divinely appointed position. Before you were born, he already called you. He's already got you. He already had your number before you were born. Okay. Let me tell a story. I have some pastor friends. He grew up in the Catholic Church. He's Italian, and he grew up in Philly. He grew up in Philly, and we were chit-chatting because I grew up in the Catholic Church. And he was an altar boy. Do we have any ex-altar boys here? Just one. Good for you, Grandma. I can do that. Okay. So he was an altar boy, and he was about in sixth grade, and he was moaning and groaning to his parents, and he goes, "Ma, they're called altar boys, and I'm in sixth grade now." Mom didn't buy that. He was an altar boy all the way through high school. So he's an altar boy, and I don't remember the guy. He told me the name of the priest, and the priest went up to him one day, and he said, "Hey, Joe, do you know there's a call on your life?" Sixth grade. How old are they in sixth grade? 11, thank you. Tell an 11-year-old boy, an altar boy, a Catholic altar boy, the priest goes to him, he says, "Hey, do you know there's a call on your life? Do you realize that?" Now, my friend Joe did not know that call or calling is to be invited to stand in a divinely appointed position by God. He didn't know that. He didn't know the Greek word, K-A-L-E-O, but he did know that he was called into ministry. So the priest said, "Hey, Joe, do you realize that you're called to ministry?" And Joe said, "Yep, I've known since I was a little kid." So the priest says, "Well, what are you going to do with it, Joe?" And Joe says, "Absolutely nothing." And the priest goes, "Why?" And he says, "Well, because I like girls." And priests, Catholic priests, can't get married. And he says, "So I'm not doing nothing with it because I like girls." The sixth grade, having this conversation with him. So the priest started laughing just like you all. And he says, "Well, Joe, you know, God can give you grace to be single." And Joe said, "There ain't enough grace in this world." Sixth grade, 11-year-old boy. I love this. Now, I know him now as a man. He's about my age, he and his wife. And you could just cracking up going, he's like that. So you know what the priest says? He says, "That's okay. You'll figure this out." 10 years later, Joe meets Jesus. And he goes, "Man, I'm in the ministry and I got a wife. Figured it out." Though this is cute. So Joe is telling me he and that priest stayed friends up until about 5 years ago, and the priest passed away and went to heaven. And he would say to him all the time, "I am so thankful of what you spoke into my life." Sixth grade. So keep speaking to those junior high kids. They may sass you off and tell them, "I don't care, but listen." So here, it's so funny though, some of you sense that there's something missing in your life, and the day you hook up to that divinely appointed position, the day you figure that out, it'll just change your life like crazy. But some of you are sitting here and you're like, "Yeah, just, you know, some things in my life, they're good, but I just, Well, it's time to hook up, all right? So today's hookup day. I'm going to have to help you hook up. Ready? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. We're talking about before you're born, in case I got lost. No, I didn't. We're talking about before you were born, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. You talk about, I have so much fun sometimes just looking up all these different translations, okay? So this is called the Passion Translation. But if you've got your Bibles, just follow along. Ready? Ephesians 10, 2. Here it goes. We have become his poetry. Ooh, poetry. How many of yours says workmanship? How many say masterpiece? Okay. Well, the Greek, if you dig back, it's a word that is similar to poetry and actually gets up there. So what he's saying is, hey, you have become his poetry. Well, what does that mean? I've become his poetry. By the way, I don't like poetry. I don't get it. So when I read this, I was like, I'll go with a masterpiece. But this was so cool. But think about this. Every time we get put together, we all are part of the body of Christ. Y'all are part of the body of Christ. And how about when we come together in this local body? Yeah, yeah. We come all together. And when we come together, God does some cool things through us that are poetic. And I went with masterpiece. How about this? Symphony. It's like a symphony when all of us are coming together in our positions that we've been divinely called. It's just beautiful. So that's what he's referring to. Okay, getting back to this. So we have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given us. Okay, God has given each one of you a destiny for his kingdom. God has given each one of you a destiny for his purpose, okay? Keep reading. For we are joined to Jesus, the anointed one, even before you were born. Woohoo! Even before you were born, God planned in advance your destiny and the good works that we would do to fulfill it. Man, I love that. So before you were born, he gave you a destiny. Everybody say, I have a destiny. So we want to figure that out. But before you were born, God gave you a destiny. Isn't that wonderful? Here's another scripture. You all know it's Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah, I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Ready? Before I shaped you. Now, this is God talking to Jeremiah. This is God talking to Jeremiah, and he's going, before, I love that. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. How about this? I had divinely appointed purpose for you before you were born. So listen, guys, God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make mistakes. He has divine appointed destiny for you guys. He has divine, okay? Now, let's see. Then here's another good scripture. Jump over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. So I say all the time, I have a favorite scripture. This is my favorite scripture. Well, this is one of my favorite scriptures. 139, okay? 139, verse 16. 139, verse 16. But with your own eyes, you saw my body being formed. Even before I was born, you had written in your book everything I would do. Ooh, you had written in your book everything that I would do. You talk about a sense of purpose and a sense of destiny. You should have it. You should be shouting. So what does this mean? Before you were born, God wrote a book, and your name's in the book. I'm not talking about the book of life. This is another book. So before you were born, God wrote a book, and your name's in the book. You know, I was thinking about that. Most people, they usually have to die before somebody writes a book about them, right? Right? They write about, what's that called, a biography? Yeah. So I'm thinking, God, you wrote this book before I was even born. And my name, it's all about me, okay? So before you were born, God wrote a book, and your name's in it. And in the book, he wrote everything he has planned for you to do. Now, you still have a choice, but God wrote a book about you, about everything he's planned for you. All right? So you shouldn't be a bump on a log anymore. Man, I want to find out what's in this book. And that's what this whole thing is about. So don't ever say, I'm a piece of junk. No, God doesn't write books about junk. God wrote a book, put your name in it, And he wrote about what your destiny, your plan, your purpose, your specific calling is. Okay, now, not everything I do is in the book. Like, the book doesn't say, Dee got up at 4:30 and drank a pot of coffee, 2 eggs sunny side up, and picked out this outfit. The book doesn't say that, okay? Now, God probably cares, but that's not what the book is about, okay? The book that God wrote about you, where he wrote about the destiny, okay? The book is about you and the destiny that he has for you. Yes. Okay, so the real you, God made real you, God made the real you that's valuable and precious, and he doesn't make junk. So don't you ever allow anybody to tell you, because if God wrote a book about me, it is not a junky book. There's some junky books out there, okay? But God did not write a junky book about me, and I'm not a boo-boo. He wrote a book, I'm made by God, and it says that I'm valuable, I'm precious, and he's got things for me to do. So that's a great book. Bestseller, right? You have a bestseller there. All righty. So some of you are probably asking, well, how do I find out what's in the book? Everybody say that. How do I find out what's in the book? Ask God. You can ask me. I love telling people things, okay? No, but ask God. And we're going to ask God. Ask him. You should ask him. Just ask him. And but the first thing is you need to take a launch. Sherry was saying, I thought, my gosh, what she said was just actually prophetic for the message today. It just tied in there. The first thing, besides asking, is you have to take a step. You have to just step and launch. You just have to launch into your specific calling. And I'll talk a little bit more about it, all right? But how many of you know what a guided missile is? Okay. Well, I kind of like them. They're kind of fascinating because think about this. You can be standing here, and they'll shoot this missile off, and it'll go halfway around the world, and it will hit its target within a dime. That's bananas, isn't it? Okay, to launch something like that. Yet, this is where I'm going to get you. They have a guidance system, and it's going to do nothing until that missile is launched. As soon as the missile is launched, I'm going to use it like a steering wheel. The steering wheel starts telling it where to go, right? Right? I'm so old school technology. That's the best I can do here. I'm laughing, going, some of you guys laugh at me. Okay. Guys, you need to launch, make some steps, and then God will guide you. But if you're sitting on your big rear ends, he doesn't need to guide you. You're sitting. So just kind of take a step, take a step. You know where my first steps were? Nursery, toddlers ministry, children's ministry. And then I went into junior high and I thought I'd hate it and I loved it. But I would take steps and God was guiding me. And then I'd take another steps and then God was guiding me. And then he guided me into junior high for a while there. I thought he was got somebody else's missile mixed up in that. But I ended up by loving it, okay? Specific. And it was so funny. I just assume everybody in this place has a specific calling to children's ministry. And I found out it's not true. Because I put a girl in there. Because listen, you know, the unspoken code is if you got kids, you got to be there. So this one lady had 3 kids. And I was like, so we put her in the children's church classroom. And after about 3 months, maybe 6 months, she says, Pastor T, I am not called. And, you know, I watched her, and she was just bad. She just was terrible. And it wasn't that she did bad things. She just wasn't called. She wasn't called. It was not her specific calling. But I still think everybody is called to children's ministry. But I did find out. Okay, so once you take your step, once you launch, God's going to start guiding you, okay? And, you know, 9 out of 10 times, I found this true, he does not give you the whole picture because you would choke. Amen. He would choke if you saw you the day you received Jesus. He told you all the things that the plans and purposes that he has for your life. You would be choking. So he just gives you little things. And you take some more steps and you take some more steps, okay? So now that you have launched, guess what you do next? Pray. Okay, so good. Really write that down. Number one, we launch. Number two, we pray. Okay. Can I tell you, I pray for this. I pray this for you a couple times a week. I pray this for me all the time. You know what I pray? God. God, launch them. God, show them the destiny that you've called them to. Okay. Pastor D, don't pray that for me. No, I am. I'm praying that, okay? So what I'm really saying is, God, show them what you wrote in your book for them. I pray that for myself. God, show me more of what you wrote in this book for me, my divinely appointed specific calling. All right, so everybody say, show me what's in the book. What's in the book? Praise God. All right, now, I'm just going to use this. This is, how many of you know the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, I'll be there. If you didn't, you didn't raise in the Catholic Church. We know that one, doing cartwheels. So I didn't realize this in children's ministry till we'd been there, I don't know how many years, that we never taught that. Don't ever knock the Catholics. They do a good job on that. But it's an interesting prayer. It's not really, how do I say this? When Jesus spoke that prayer, he was still standing on the side of Old Covenant. New Covenant didn't happen until he died and he rose again. So it's an Old Covenant prayer, okay, but there's great stuff in it. So I'm going to give you Matthew, it's either 6:9 or 9:6. 6:9, Lord's Prayer. Just write that down and do this. Okay, now, there's sort of an outline in that. So you can take the outline. There's good things. You don't chuck the baby out the bathwater, okay? There's good things. And there's sort of headings. So here's the first one. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I was listening to the song. Somebody sings the song. Okay, so how does that fit today? Every time you go before the Lord, how about you do some praise and worship? Hallowed be your name. God, but I don't say hallowed be thy name. Okay, I can sing the song, but I go, God, I love you. You're so wonderful. I just praise you. What we did this morning, okay? But I don't sound that good. So that's like the first thing. So number one, our Father who art in heaven. Number two, thy kingdom come. Okay, thy kingdom come. All that's saying is, Lord, let your kingdom grow in the earth. Let your kingdom grow in your people on the earth. Let every prophecy and prophetic word and plans that you have grow in us to do what you want us to do. Thy kingdom come, okay? How about just God, let all your plans come to pass. Does that sound good? That's another way of saying it. Okay, the third one, this is what I want to get to. So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth, y'all on earth? Okay, where's heaven? Okay. Yeah, okay. So, what we're talking about, we've been invited to stand in a divinely appointed position, okay? God has already determined your divinely appointed position. God has already determined your divinely appointed position. I love telling you what I think it is so you all be in children's ministry, but I found out that's not always true. But God has already determined your divinely appointed position, your destiny, and the things you're to go and to do. All right? Now, so this part where it says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," that can kind of be, let me throw this word out, universal. Like, God, let your will be done for Israel in the last days. That's kind of universal. But that scripture also is very individual. Say for me. It's for me. It's for me, okay? So this is how that prayer would go. God, and this is what I pray for you. Lord God, show them what's in your book. Show them the destiny that they have. I pray this for me too. Show them exactly, and better yet, God, alongside of it, not better yet, show them, put desires in them. Lord, put desires in us. How about that instead of them? Put desires in me to see and then desires to do it, okay? Now I want to tell you, you're living on thin ice the day you pray that prayer. It changed your life. It's so exciting, okay? Now, I tell you, I pray that. I pray for you all the time. I pray, God, put burning desires in each one of my people, You're all my people. Put burning desires that they may know the plans and purposes. Put burning desires inside them that they will desire to do the things you do. Okay? And by the way, you can pray that for yourself. I don't have to do it all the time. You guys pray that for yourself. God, I want to know what's in this book. I want all that you have planned. I want that desire, and I want to walk it. All right? It'll change your life. I'll tell you what. It'll change your life. You'll have this destiny and purpose. Woo! All right. Now, let me give you a scripture to back it up. Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Philippians 2:13. For it is not your strength. Whoosh, I love that part. But it is God. Yeah. Who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work. Okay? So God's working in you. God's putting a destiny inside of you. God's done it. He's dropped it in you. That is strengthening and energizing and creating in you and longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose. Don't we love the Amplified? Praise God. Let me read this last part again. It's Amplified. Okay. Creating in you and longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose. Praise God. All that's saying is, hey, God, put your purpose in my heart. And God, I desire your purpose and I will walk through it. And by the way, there is nothing I do here that is in my own strength. I would have quit. Especially this morning, that time change. I was like, dang, are you kidding me? All right, so, but, you know, aside from physical strength, just strengthen on the inside, okay? That's called the grace of God. So if he calls you to a destiny, you can tap into his strength, his empowerment, his ability, so you can walk it out. So I'm walking it out today. Amen. All righty. Now, moving on. Okay, I'm changing gears. How many of you have ever heard of the judgment seat of Christ? Well, you ought to, because we'll all stand before it. Someday you're going to drop dead, Fred, okay? You're going to go and stand before the Lord, all right? But this judgment seat, for a believer, you will not be judged for your sin. Everybody go, whoosh. Yeah, you're not going to be judged for your sins, okay? Why? Because Jesus took your sin and your punishment. So when you go before this judgment seat, I stand righteous, redeemed, blameless, holy before the Lord. But there's a purpose in this one. But again, if you've received Jesus, how many of you have received Jesus into your life? Jesus has paid and taken your sins, and you can come, and guess what? Then you go directly in. What's that? Collect $200 and go in. What's that Monopoly game? All right? You go directly in because of what Jesus did for you. All right? Now, but why am I going to be standing in front of the judgment seat? Okay, well, I'm going to be standing in front of there because he's going to hand out rewards. How many of you like rewards? Yeah. How many of you ever go to BJ's and they got the carts and the free food? That's like rewards. I just love it. I just go eat myself happy over there, okay? But this is even better. This is even better, okay? So Jesus has already took your punishment, but, everybody say but. But your sins that you do can mess you up. But wait, my sins are forgiven, I'm going to heaven, but sins you can do can mess you up. What do you mean, Pastor D? Sins that you do can occupy you from doing the divine destiny that you have in your life. Sins that keep you occupied from the divine destiny, and you will not get to the places that God and the purposes that he has for you. How many of you know people that have just been benched because of sin in their life? And you know they had a call in their life. They still have a call in their life, all right? So sin will mess you up. But But when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, when you stand by the judgment seat of Christ, I know that I have asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of my life. He took my sins, my punishment, and I go, ta-da, in. Okay, but there is rewards, and I like rewards. Praise the Lord. I love rewards. You should go to children's ministry. We give out all sorts of rewards. Candy, stickers, prizes. Okay, I like it. They're fun, okay? So what's it going to look like at the judgment seat? Okay, I'm going to go to the judgment seat of Christ, and God's going to pull out the book with my name on it, with a name on it, and he's going to open it up, and he's going to see all the plans that he has for my life. Open up to that page. Oh, these are the divinely appointed plans that God has for my life. How about the destiny that he has for my life, the purpose he has for my life? He's going to open them up, and then he's going to look at me and see what I did. Okay, he's going to see what I did. Because, you know, because I have found out what my special calling is. And he wrote all about it. All right, and he's gonna look and see what I did. Okay, and listen, my aim is when I get up there and he opens the book, my aim is that I've gotten up here and did all the things I was supposed to do, or at least I've aimed for all the things I was supposed to do, because I want to get some rewards and I want to have this contentment while I lived on earth. But the last thing you want is to stand before the judgment seat. God takes out the book, opens up to your name, and he says, wow, these are all the things that I divinely called you to stand in, to be a destiny and a purpose and all this stuff, and you only did this. Okay, that's not so cool, right? And you might have a little remorse, but don't worry about it. We're going into heaven. But remorse would be like, oh, I wish I didn't get all sucked into that. I wish I hadn't done this or been consumed with this in my life. I wish I didn't get jumped into this thing that I did in my life, okay? And you might feel a little remorse, all right? And God's going to say, but, you know, hey, you could have done it. See all those things that I just showed you? You could have done it. And you're like, wow, okay, you might feel a little remorse. But listen, as soon as you enter into heaven, whoosh, just beautiful. Heaven's beautiful. No more sorrow, no more tears, okay, like that. And you are rewarded, okay? But I want a pile. How many want a pile? I want it all. Like, well, Pastor Sherry, that's the other thing. She goes, more. How many want more? Okay, I want more, okay? So before you were born, God called you. God has invited you to stand in a divinely appointed position, and there's a destiny for you before you were born. All right, so the last thing I'm going to do, I'm going to give you the last one, real simple, and you're not going to like it. I'm just going to tell you. You're all like, dang, she said that thing. I knew she was going to say that. I can't believe she said, yeah, she's going to do it. Okay, number two, ready? You were called to be in ministry. Oh, I knew she was going to say that. Yep. I'm going to give you my scriptures, you know, if God doesn't say it. Okay, you were called to be in ministry, okay? Isn't that pretty cool? You were called to be in ministry? Sure, Pastor D, just loving all that, okay? Now, maybe not in the sense like I'm a pastor, which we'll read the scriptures as fivefold ministry, but you have been called to ministry. Look at your neighbor and say, you are called to ministry. Okay? This past December, my dear friend of mine that we ran around in college, and now I'm born again, so we don't talk about some of that stuff, but she invited me to her church. They had a ladies' Christmas thingamajig. Can't remember what it was. Okay? And she said, by the way, she came and visited, and it was fun. So she said, how do you want your name? I said, D-E-E-C-A-S-H-M-A-N. She says, D, I'm so proud of you. Why don't we do Pastor D or Reverend D? I was like, come on, Luann, just write D. So the reason why she was asking, she said, because when you get to the front foyer, when you check in, and you'll find your name badge. So she was running late. I found out she runs late all the time. So now I calculate. We go out to lunch now. I just calculate when I'm going to show up here. So I get there on time, and I go up to the front desk, and it says Reverend D. Cashman. I wanted to go incognito, okay? But let me tell you something. You are all reverend, because you are all called to ministry. Look at your neighbor on the right and say, hey, Reverend. look at your neighbor on the left and say, how you doing, Rev? How you doing, Rev? Okay? Let me give you my scripture to back it up. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 11. Okay? Praise God. I'm telling you, every single one of you, you are called to ministry. Now, it looks different than me and she and he and we. Okay. Are you at Ephesians chapter 4? Good. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Here we go. And he, God, has appointed some. Better yet, God has appointed you to stand in a divinely appointed position, right? So he has appointed some with grace or the gift of grace to be an apostle. Today, I would say in modern day, apostle is a missionary. Some with grace to be prophets. Some with grace to be evangelists. Some with grace to pastor. And some with grace to be teachers, okay? So I am graced to pastor and I teach, but I do not stand in the office of a teacher. Anybody hear Joyce Myers teach? John Bevere, Christine Kane, they stand in the office to teach. Okay, they are office. Though I can teach, and by the way, y'all can teach. Just read a book; you can teach. Okay, so verse 12. Let's jump down to that. Here we go. And their calling, that's the bunch we just read. Their calling is to nurture and prepare the holy believers. All you reverends. Reverend, 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 reverend. Okay? They are to nurture and prepare all y'all to do their own work of ministry. You are called to ministry, right? And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. Woo! Pastor D! So, my purpose is to nurture, to teach, kick you sometimes. No, okay. So you can begin to do what God created you to do. That's my purpose. That's a fivefold ministry. Okay, so so what's your work of the ministry? You're probably going, what? Okay, for 99% of you, the ministry will probably be in your local church. The 1%, you might be called to parachurch ministry. Harvest of Blessings, parachurch ministry. Ministries that are outside the church, okay? All right. But the majority of you will be called to volunteer inside this church. Yes, I love volunteers, okay? Now, it's amazing the sense of fulfillment when you walk in your calling, in your ministry, in your divinely appointed position. I don't know how many times now. See, I talk to children's ministry all the time, but I talk to Nevin sometimes. Yeah, I talk to Nevin. But I'll go after a service, and they're volunteers. They go, wow, that was just so wonderful. There's such a fulfillment. Some days, one day I saw Stacy, and she said, I'm going to take a nap. But it was the day we had a lot of little boys, okay? But generally speaking, you can't talk them out of not doing it. Like, they just love doing what they're doing. There's a fulfillment. There's a sense of purpose. And you just go to bed with that sweet, sweet, sweet inside of there. Okay? Now, how is it a church grows? How is it a church becomes healthy? How is it people become healthy? You find out what your divinely appointed position is, and you do it. I'm telling you. So people go, well, Pastor D, how come we're not growing? I got scriptures, Ephesians 4:12, okay? Because we all make a symphony, and we all have a part to play, and we all minister one to another and all sorts of things, okay? So man, it's just so sweet. Okay, let me give you one more scripture. Nah, I'm done on scriptures, okay. Just think, if every one of you starts asking God, what's in the book? God, what is my destiny? God, what is my purpose? What does it look like right now where I'm at? I don't have to worry about the next 10 years. Okay, what would your life look like? What would people's life look like? What would churches look like? I think they'd be looking pretty good. Praise the Lord. But number one, it is amazing to know that you are not a boo-boo, that you were made by God. He called you before you were born. He's got created you to do some great things for his kingdom. Amen? Praise God. I think we're going to pray right now. Praise the Lord. Hey, before we pray, just close your eyes and just thank God. Let's thank God he didn't create junk. Let's thank God that he's caught a calling in your life, Reverend so-and-so. Just thank him, Father. Everybody, thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that I'm so valuable and precious. Lord, I thank you that you made me. You knew me before you made me. Thank you that I'm so special that you would call purpose, destiny in our life. Amen. Praise God. I want to give everybody a chance to pray this prayer. Some of you, you've probably prayed this prayer. Maybe it's just a time of recommitment. Some of you, this might be the first time, but just really just think about this, and I just want you to pray. Say, Lord, I desire to know what's written in my book. All right? And you can just let God know. This could be your cry out to him all the time. You know, God, I want to know what's in the book. I want to know what my destiny is, all right? Now for me, I know I'm doing my I'm doing my plans and purposes, but you know what? There's next year and there's next year. I think every year you go, God, what's in the book for me? What's more? What's more can I be doing? What else do you have, okay? And how many of you are past 60? You know, every decade it kind of changes, right? What I did, I don't even have the, you know. I do not do preschool anymore. It's changed. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, they just wiped me out. They're amazing. They're cute. They are really cute, okay? But your things will change in life, okay? I like babysitting when they hit 3. No, I don't. That's that age group, yeah. I'll go in with Sherry, yeah, to get to the team here. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Well, I'm praying. I actually prayed a lot for this service and just heard some things from the Lord. And one of the things, there's some of you here that might be sitting here, and this is just like, man, God, I just feel like junk. How could you use me? God, I've made this mistake and that mistake, and not even what my grandma said about me, but I just feel like, how could you use me? You need to know that you are so valuable and precious, that God made you and he knew you before you were born. And you just start saying, I am loved by God. I am valued by God. I am so valuable that God wrote a destiny for me. Okay? Some of you just you need to be saying that. Okay? And there's others of you that you know the work, the call that God has for you, and you walked in it for a season and you walked out. And no condemnation, but I want to tell you, it's still there. The gifts and calling of God without repentance, it's still there, and you just need to jump in the game again. Just launch in the game again, okay? Some of you, you're like, you just sat down for whatever reason, and that's okay. You say, God, I'm sorry for sitting down, and I'm going to launch, and I'm getting back in the game. Praise the Lord. So just close your eyes and just, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're speaking to hearts. You're speaking to hearts. You're opening eyes. You're revealing our destiny. Yeah. Say, Lord, I hear you. Yes. Mm-hmm. Lord, I'm not really sure of all this. I'm going to just keep asking you. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe you came here today and you didn't even know God existed. Maybe you came here today and you're not even sure of eternity, like what happens when you die. Maybe you're here today and you were raised in a church, but you just didn't believe it. You just sounded confusing. Maybe you're here today and you're just pulled back. Well, I want to tell you, the one invitation, the most important invitation that God gives to everybody is that you might know him personally. And Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And Jesus said, if you'd call on my name and you'd ask me, I'd come in and I'd be with you forever and you'd be with me forever. So if you're here today, I'd like to ask you, well, let me say, I'm not asking you to join a church, and I'm not asking you to join a religion. I'm asking you, what did you do with Jesus? And someday you will stand before the Lord and he'll ask you, what did you do? And it's real simple to say, Jesus, I'm ready to accept you. So if you're here today and you've never accepted, and I really believe Holy Spirit's speaking to hearts, would you just say, yes, Jesus, I am ready to accept you. And all the rest of you that have already asked Jesus into your life, how about we pray this out loud with people that are ready for the first time, for the time. So we can all pray this out loud. Okay, and if you're praying this for the first time, a miracle happens in your life, and you just pray it's real sincere out of your life. And let me tell you, miracle, 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 miracle. It's just the greatest thing that happens, all right? And if you're one of these that maybe you've walked away from God, you just put him on a shelf and walked away, and God's saying, hey, I'm here. I've already called you. I have a destiny. You're valuable. You're precious. I made you. And would you come back and just say, you know, Lord, I'm recommitting my life today. So if you would say that, or you want to pray this for the first time, how about we all stand up and pray this? You ready? Pray God. Lord God, I realize I'm a sinner. And this day I look to Jesus. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And you died for me. You took my sins, my punishment. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you're alive. And this day, Jesus, I accept you into my life. Woo, I'm now a child of God. Heaven is my destiny. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for miraculous lives changed. We thank you that all of heaven rejoices when someone asks Jesus into their life. So we rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, put the coffee back on. Make the music so loud, because we are missing some time here. If you'd like prayer, I would love to pray with you. I've got some elders up here. If you're helping, go talk to Nevin with that, because we're having lunch first downstairs. Okay? Do you need any help up here? Okay? All right. You guys are awesome. Have a wonderful day. I was like, what else am I supposed to say? Children's ministers are downstairs for a meeting. If you want to get involved, just come downstairs, because you know, you're all called. No. Downstairs for a meeting. Yay.